Amos was a prophet hundreds of years before Christ. Jesus tells this story 2,000 years ago. There's something about the human race, human nature, that can tend toward greed, avarice, dishonesty. And so here we have two different instances. Amos is accusing the leaders of Israel of taking advantage of the poor. God, who lifts up the poor, God who has a special predilection for the poorest among us, is ignored. And these people are going to temple and, you know, doing the rituals and everything like that and feeling pretty good about themselves. But Amos says, you're not good at all. You're cheating the poorest of the poor by adjusting the shekel, adjusting the scales. You're taking advantage of every opportunity to make them poorer than they are now. Well, that's with us today, too. I mean, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And the injustices that happen in today's world, even in a free society like the United States, there are people behind the political scenes who pump in a lot of money to make sure that things keep going their way. We call it lobbying. Now, lobbying is a good thing. The Kansas bishops hire a full-time lobbyist to lobby for life and for justice for the poor and things like that. There is a group in Washington called Network, and it's founded by the religious sisters across the United States, and they lobby in Congress for the poor. So lobbying can be a good thing too, but we also know that it can be a bad thing, and the people with the most money always win. A good bill that's designed to help little people, often by the time it gets all the way through the process, turns out to be actually more for the rich. Okay, so those injustices abound. We just know that. But Jesus is not just talking about God's disappointment about human nature. Jesus is inviting each one of us to enter into this question about where we are in this. Are we just stewards or unjust stewards? And so there's a comparison here between dishonest wealth and honest wealth, between little things and great things. And one of the things that Jesus is trying to point out is that you have to be trustworthy in little things. You have to be trustworthy in dishonest wealth, which would be sort of be mammon, the wealth of the world, as opposed to the wealth of the kingdom, eternal life. You have to be trustworthy in the small things so that you can build up trustworthiness in the great things as well. So we all have to make a living. We all have to survive in this world. We all have to play the games. But there's something larger than just those games. There's something larger than just this life. And that's an insight that we Christians have, that we believe in eternity. We believe that we participate in the infinity of God. We believe that there's something beyond this world and this life, and that that's actually more important than this world and this life. It takes precedence over it. For one thing, because it's greater. You live 70 or 80 years in this world and this life, you live for eternity in the next life. So smaller and greater. And so we have to learn while we're here in this short, small world and this small life, how to discover and to treasure the things that really matter. And so Jesus ends this whole passage by saying, you can't love God and mammon. You know, to love is to give yourself over to something. To let go of your own autonomy and give yourself to that other. You know, in marriage, you let go of your individuality and you give yourself completely to another until death do us part. And when you have children, you're letting go of a lot of your freedoms and everything like that, and you give that over to the raising and the prosperity of your children, and actually you find joy in those things. That this is not just something that we're bargaining for the next life. We're finding joy, happiness, meaning, even in the present moment. And so the kingdom is now. The kingdom is here. We're not just doing bargaining chips for the next life. We're discovering that if we allow it to be, the kingdom is now. And happiness, the example for that is given to us in Jesus himself. The gospel acclamation reminds us that Jesus gave of his divinity so that we might share in his divinity. He took on our humanity. He lowered himself. He gave himself, took on our nature so that we could take on his divine nature. And so it's just simply true that the more we give, the more we receive. The path to true happiness is in giving, being generous, being not just in finances, but in worry, in love, and in devotion. And of course, the beginning of our Christian life is baptism. And that's there where we ritually practice the reality that we have said goodbye to this world. We've said goodbye to mammon and to all the things that this world treasures and values. And we put our attention, we put our love, we put our giving to God. And so every time we enter here, we sign ourselves in that font, reminding ourselves that that characterizes, that's who we are. And we face the altar of sacrifice, the memorial of his giving his life for us, and the encouragement to lay ourselves there too, and to give our lives for the poor, to give our lives for one another, to give our lives for the kingdom of God.